Recently, we gathered with family to celebrate the one-year birthday of Levi, my niece's son. It was a wonderful afternoon of kids and adults smashing birthday cake into their faces and hearing the joyous laughter of small children. Although Levi very much enjoyed his cake while sitting in his high chair, he was most happy and energetic when he was in the practice of learning to walk. With a huge grin, he would stand for a fleeting second. Then the laws of gravity and physics took over, and he would land with a thud back on his bottom. And then Levi would start the whole cycle over again. It was a highly entertaining part of our afternoon together. Learning to walk is a momentous achievement and a significant milestone for each one of us. Here at Jacqueline Street, we've seen Micah go from a crawling baby boy to now a young boy capable of leaping over tall buildings, or at least Lego-sized ones. Isaac isn't far behind him, and soon enough, Izzy and Bethany will walk and then be responsible for a good number of their parents' 10,000 steps each day. Walking is indeed one of life's purest pleasures. Our passage today in Colossians is a prayer of the Apostle Paul, where he prays that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Friends, each step we take in our walk of life, no matter where or how ordinary the circumstance, is done in the full view of our Lord. We can take steps worthy of Him and pleasing to Him. Each step we walk takes us closer toward or further away from God's will. And there is also work to be done as we walk through our life, walking for the good of our own beating heart and our spiritual heart, walking to be a blessing for our family, for friends, and for strangers. For our physical bodies, the benefits of taking a walk are real and substantial. Our whole body gets involved. Our legs and feet are strengthened as we navigate city streets or hike up a trail. Blood takes in more life-giving oxygen and passes that energy on to each tiny cell throughout our body. Our heart muscle works harder and builds endurance. Tension and stress are relaxed. Our eyes appreciate the improved blood circulation and focus more clearly. Our mind sharpens and is refreshed as we look up and ahead while we step along. What a marvelous creation God has given us in our bodies. A simple walk is a great way to respect and tend for the body that God has entrusted to us. Our physical and our spiritual walk are absolutely linked together. From the earliest scriptures, we read of people who walked with God and who followed His will. To walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, from Deuteronomy 10. Faith, obedience, teaching, and fellowship resulted for those who walked with God. Paul, the writer of today's passage in Colossians 1, which is on page 668 of your pew Bible, was living in a prison cell in Rome, yet he was still fully involved in the work of the gospel. He had never visited Colossae, a small city in southwest Turkey, which was about 2,000 kilometers away from Rome. But some people of the Colossae area had recently become Christians, and a new church had been born. Listen as we read as Paul enthusiastically gives thanks for these new believers and their church gathering. Hear as he recounts the commitment to be praying always for you. Brothers and sisters, The letter to the people of Colossae are words that we at Jacqueline Street Alliance Church can take hold of and truly appreciate. May each one of us here and this church together be devoted to pray often so that we will be filled with the knowledge of God's will, so that we walk fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful, growing, strengthening, and thankful. We'll read from Colossians 1, verses 1 to 14, but our focus will be on verses 9 to 14. Let's read. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and came to truly appreciate God's grace. You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. And here we turn to the prayer. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you feel Paul's love and the care for the saints in Christ in Colossae that are expressed in these words? Paul is so excited for the gospel and knowing that the truth of God and the life story of our Lord Jesus Christ is spreading all over the world. Paul provides an excellent example of praying for a church that was not his home church or one that he had even visited in person. But God sustained and preserved Paul, inspiring him to write this letter, which lifts our hearts and gives us valuable teaching in 2026. Today, we can take for granted that new churches are being planted in Africa, Asia, and even here in London, Ontario. The worldwide church is growing, and for that fact, we praise God. We should get to know and pray for gatherings nearby and far away, as Paul does for the Colossian church. Start with the churches where there may be families serving overseas who are already on your prayer list. Expand your list with trusted organizations such as Send International, who have a monthly prayer calendar listing prayer requests for the churches they plant around the world. Include local churches where we have deep ties, for example, West London Alliance, or developing relationships with Chelsea Green across the field here. Praying for the local and global church causes us to see God at work and to more personally share in the joys and trials that other Christians live in their day-to-day life. Our worldview is expanded, and we will encounter inspiring stories of God's faithfulness to his church. Now, imagine yourself sitting in a room with your new friends in the church of Colossae. You're likely in simple surroundings. There's probably much discussion taking place about your newfound hope because you recently put your faith in Christ Jesus. Epaphras, the likely deliverer of the handwritten letter from Rome, has begun reading and now comes to the sentence in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. How does hearing those words make you feel? Does your heart stir? Someone 2,000 kilometers away that you don't know is praying for you and praying for your church? Friends, how do you feel now when someone tells you that they have been praying for you? They're praying for your work situation, or praying for your unbelieving child who is not walking to please God, or praying for your health condition. A sense of peace, encouragement, certainty, and a lift in my heart and spirit usually well up inside of me when being told of prayers being made on my behalf. Humbled that someone would take of their precious time to pray to God for me. Together in prayer is a strong action. Now God is involved, along with the person praying, and yourself. Strength in numbers. What a solid foundation to build upon for individuals and for the gathered church. And Paul states that they haven't stopped praying. Given the number of churches that Paul was involved with during his church planting ministry, this is an incredible commitment to ongoing prayer. Despite Paul's circumstances in a Roman jail, guarded by soldiers, fully dependent on others to provide him with food and clothing, he still managed to have the physical energy and heartfelt godly faithfulness for ongoing prayer. We often make excuses for finding time to make for prayer. Friends, guard your time to put prayer into your daily schedules. Keep a journal for your prayers and record how God works in your life and in His church. Take the extra time to ask how you can pray for a friend or for a church member. Commit yourself to regularly pray for their prayer matter. Count it a privilege to spend time bringing prayers for others to Christ. Paul has a specific request for the Colossian church. His request of God is foundational for the new believers who are following Jesus in Colossae. The letter continues with these words. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His, God's, will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God's will was revealed at the beginning of creation, was confirmed in His covenants with Adam, Abraham, and Noah, and is shown fully to us in Jesus, who did the will of His Father. Obeying His Father's will, Jesus took on our sins and gave His life so that we could have a right relationship with the Holy God. Paul prays that our attitudes, behaviors, and desires will fully know God and show His character. You may ask yourself, how do I really fill myself with the knowledge of God's will? Indeed, this will take time and effort, for sure. Here's a simple approach that you can take anytime you have a few idle minutes, such as when you're filling your car with fuel or warming your coffee or tea in the microwave. Begin about thinking about one of your favorite Bible verses. Ask yourself, why does this verse have a special place in my heart? How is God's character revealed by the Scripture? How do these words cause me to act wisely and to change my spiritual understanding? Let's try this exercise with the shortest verse in the Bible, which is found in John 11, verse 35. The verse reads, Jesus wept. Jesus. Mourning the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus. God's Son weeping. Intense love. Shared loss. Love for one of his children. Resurrection. God's power over death. Just some of the thoughts from those two little words in that verse. Consider how we can reflect God's character and will as revealed in this short verse. And then show this character using wisdom and spiritual understanding the next time we must walk with a family through their grief in the death of a loved one. Each time you reflect and meditate on the truths of Scripture which the Holy Spirit reveals, you are working toward filling yourself with the knowledge of God's will. Now do know, this knowledge of God's will is not a mere academic exercise. Paul has a reason that he wants the Colossians and us to understand and experience, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. To walk is an action verb. There is a purpose or destination in mind when we walk. Similarly, our spiritual walk, which is now energized by our developing knowledge of God's will, should be directed with purpose and action. Jesus walked all over the region of Galilee, into the hostile regions of Samaria, and along the busy streets of the city of Jerusalem. He was oftentimes hungry, usually covered in the dust and the grime of the dirt roads. But he was always full of compassion and ready to share a life-changing lesson or to make a dramatic change to a passer's-by circumstances. Indeed, even God, Jesus' Father, called out, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus, in his full humanity, walked fully pleasing to his Father. Reflect for a moment when you were with some friends in a setting that you would describe as fully pleasing. What made that time so special? Likely there was a sense of real harmony and unity amongst your friends. There may have been a significant exertion of effort, such as hiking to the top of a hill, and then you were all rewarded with a spectacular view of a mountain scene. Encouraging words would have been shared to motivate each other along during the walk. Perhaps someone offered to carry the bag of someone who was tiring. Moments like these are the ones that we wish would last forever. Whatever your moment of reflection considered, there was likely opportunity for the walk to have turned out, unfortunately, unpleasantly. Without the right heart knowledge and spiritual wisdom, our walk can literally end up in the ditch. Paul addresses the Colossians with words and actions which steer our walk away from the ditches, directing us instead toward pleasing our Lord. We've read that we are to pray often so that we are filled with the knowledge of God, so that we will walk fully pleasing to him. Why? So that our life is fruitful, growing, strengthening, and thankful. We'll explore each of these features of a pleasing life that stays on the path in more detail, beginning here at verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work. Work for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is one of the key responsibilities for any Christian. The work is hard, but vital. After all, Paul rejoiced that the gospel has come to you, the people of Colossae. And that only happened because men and women left their homes and had traveled to Colossae to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul's words, to accomplish good work, are the challenge to us as individuals and collectively as the church. We may never know the outcome of the community coffee conversations that took place here at Jacqueline Street over the last year. But we will trust the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of the Weeble students who met and were lovingly welcomed during these times. May we always be looking for opportunities to serve in every good work. Talk with Robin if you have ideas or time to do good work in the Jacqueline Street community. Next, Paul tells us that our walk should result in us growing in the knowledge of God. We are so blessed in the English-speaking world to have access to thousands of years of Christian writings and countless Bible-based books. Many of the countries and languages that are outside of the West have an extreme lack of translated teaching and discipleship materials. Praise God for the work that has been done to build up our knowledge of God with Christian literature, hymns, and prayers. Let's not take these for granted. But first and foremost, we are to be reading our Bible diligently and prayerfully. Reading other trustworthy authors will grow our biblical knowledge and can be a valuable resource to increase our confidence to share God's word or to push us forward in a good work. But do not hold on to that knowledge for only yourself. Be ready to serve in Bible study groups or while having a hot beverage with someone who is seeking answers to life's difficult questions. Trust God that the Holy Spirit will give you the right words to help break through where there may be a hardened heart. Growing in the knowledge of God is a straight line to having a better knowledge of His will in your life. As we grow more like our Lord, our awareness of others and their needs will be more evident for us to see. We will have new opportunities to respond and to serve our friends, neighbors, and strangers in obedience with good works. Our late sister, Carol, beautifully embodied this desire to grow in the knowledge of God. As a mature believer, she still faithfully attended Sunday school and the JSAC Women's Bible Study. And she participated genuinely by asking hard questions, giving wise answers, and sharing stories of encouragement from her walk with her Lord. One of her final acts of service was preparing food for the Tuesday night Bible study before she was taken to the hospital. What a godly example Carol is for us. A dear servant of God, who daily made the effort to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Now into verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You have certainly seen photos from space of a hurricane. Initially, the satellite image will show a ragged collection of clouds with little apparent shape or organization. But in the right conditions, the hurricane will strengthen into a powerful and sustained mass of energy in the form of wind, rain, and a roiling ocean. The energy from the ocean's warmth and the surrounding atmosphere all come together in an amazing display of God's creative power. Strength. Power, might. These words may seem somewhat contrary to describe someone who is walking in a fully pleasing manner. But when you examine the reason why Paul prays for power and might, their meaning become clear. This is not our power, but God's. The power and might of the Almighty God strengthening in us so we can endure in purity when deciding against the temptation of a late night internet search. Power to put our heads down and with patience push on through the struggles of a chaotic and challenging workplace situation. Life is a long walk, and the times of rest can be few and short. Our personal capacity and human capabilities are easily run down and diminished by the constant and immediate pressures that we find in today's culture. That is why God wants us to walk with Him. Only with God's power and in His glorious might can we walk with great endurance and patience to please Him. He will strengthen our heart. And with His power, when we prayerfully get into His presence in faith, we will be encouraged. In faith and in full belief, we ask for His might to help us to walk when we are in a valley. The truth of this prayer for God's strength, power, and might holds for each one of us individually. As a church, though, what category of hurricane working for God's glory could we be strengthened into if we were to make it our daily prayer together across this congregation? What would Jacqueline Street look like with a Category 5 hurricane-like church? Think about that as you pray and as we pray together when we gather corporately. Paul concludes the ask of his prayer in verse 12. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. If we were being held in prison for the good work of the gospel, would we be able to tell others to joyfully give thanks to the Father? Paul looks beyond his immediate peril in prison and moves our thoughts to the real reason we have hope, why we do good works, and why we grow in the knowledge of God. We, along with all the Christians who have lived and died since Jesus came out from the grave, are rescued from darkness. We are in Jesus' kingdom. For those who believe in Jesus and have their sins forgiven, we are redeemed to God our Father. For this reason, we give joyful thanks to God with our every breath. What a freeing way to walk our days here on this earth. All the troubles which we encounter and all the joys of birthdays and learning to walk are just a speck compared to the walk which is ahead of us, when we will be with our Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, prayer is such a beautiful, relation-building and life-giving activity that God has provided to us. Put the effort into making time to pray on your own. Pray simply. Pray deeply. Pray frequently. And as a church, we desire to build a habit and attitude of prayer into the life of the Jacqueline Street congregation. Through prayer, we will encourage each other's walk. We will share in the good work of the gospel. We will joyfully give thanks. Friends, pray often so that you will be filled with the knowledge of God, so that you will walk fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful, growing, strengthening, and being thankful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the inspiration you gave Paul in that prison cell in Rome over 2,000 years ago, so that we here today could feel the life, energy, and truths and know that they are real. Father, I pray that we will oftentimes go before you, that we will bend our knees individually and collectively here as the church at Jacqueline Street. Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your word together, and we commit the rest of our day to you. In your name we pray. Amen.